On Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to WKGN, AM 1340 Knoxville, FM 101.5 West Knox, and streaming online at foxsportsknoxville.com. Fan Run Radio.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell and the Bear coming to you live from your Friday home of The Drive, National RX. And get a rainy Friday for you here, kind of a dreary,
gloomy downtown day, Russell.
Overcast kind of a day. Yeah, just not a lot you can say good about the weather here in Knoxville this afternoon, but hopefully we get into something good here this afternoon on the show. I'll start with some good news here.
Hit me.
Rick Butler's back.
Butler.
Ricky B. Ravishing Rick Butler.
Turn on your mic. Ravishing Rick.
Rick, as you get welcome back from being out all week with the flu after laughing at us, a couple of old fuddy-duddies for getting the flu shot. Welcome back, Drive quality control analyst Rick Butler, to the festivities. How you feeling, buddy?
You know, it was not a fun week, but it wasn't terrible either. Like I got the flu, and so many people just told me it was going to be miserable and miserable and miserable, and it wasn't that bad.
Wait, what do you mean? It wasn't that bad.
You immediately went to see a physician and got put on Tamiflu. You've already told me this.
Yes. Yeah, I think we caught it really early. We caught it really early. I don't even know if it was the most. I feel like it was a fairly mild case, but it wasn't that bad. But I feel like it also could have been way worse.
You need to take care of yourself. If people are getting into trouble, they think they're over it, and then it kicks back on them.
Yeah. Wow. But I will say, from some I heard that week, I'm not an anti-vacciner. I just don't really care for the flu shot. Everything else, you know, I think I'm fine with.
Rick, you told me it was junk science.
Yes, I did.
All right, we're not going to settle this debate right now. But Rick, welcome back, man. Glad to have you back. Hope you're feeling better, and thanks for joining us this afternoon. Rick Butler, everybody, back in the Mountain View Chevy studios. He will greet you as you call this afternoon, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. And Rick will have the podcast up. That was really the most difficult part.
Well,
about
I was going to say for the podcast.
The podcast experience should be.
Yeah, I mean, the podcast people have got to be rejoicing.
But we got it up yesterday, but I've been told that it was far from perfect. But it was up there, so I apologize.
Did Chance message you?
I don't know, man. I didn't go back and listen. It's up. People can hear it. That's good enough for me. So it's the world getting back on its axis. Chance not here. I understand he's on the mend. Hopefully he's back on Monday, so keep him in your thoughts as we roll through the weekend here. All right, a lot to get to. We got baseball was actually set. The Tennessee baseball season opener was scheduled to start here in 27 minutes.
That ain't happening.
I don't think they're playing baseball today. They've moved the start back to 6, and
it's not supposed to stop raining until next week.
Yeah. I thought it was a classy move. I don't know if you saw this today. Dave Serrano.
Huh.
Who is now at West Virginia as an assistant up there. He's the pitching coach at West Virginia. Tweeted out a tweet this morning wishing Tennessee luck. I thought that was it was a pretty cool gesture. I thought from Coach
He's
Serrano.
He's class. He is Coach Serrano is a class act. Russ, are you kidding me?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool, man, and it just got me thinking of all the head scratchers in Tennessee athletics history, and there have been quite a few.
Right.
Of all the just, you know, what the heck, just I don't get it moments in Tennessee. Like Dave Serrano working out. Dave Serrano's failure here is by far, I don't want to say it's number one on the list, but
it's baffling though, isn't it?
Yeah. How in the world did that guy, with his resume and his ties to this place,
his
not,
love of it,
how did he not make it here?
He tried to play small ball in the SEC.
I guess so, man. Like, it's, I wanted to, and by the way, speaking of people who are sick today, I talked to Rusty Enzer. He's had, he hasn't had the flu, but he's had some bronchitis or something, and didn't want to come on the show today, but hopefully we'll get him on next week and we can kind of review and give you
a
season.
We haven't talked to Rusty in a minute.
Yeah, we're not going to do the weekly visits with Rusty that we've done the past couple of years. And that's what we started doing that.
Serrano came in
first year, because I was convinced, I was 110% convinced that Dave Serrano was going to turn this baseball program around.
We were going to the series. I remember those days.
You know, it was going to take a year or two. We give him a grace period there to clean up Todd Raleigh's mess, but by God, when he got it going, we were going to be rolling one of the top teams in the conference, going to Omaha, and it was going to be a cool thing that we could talk about in the spring a little bit, and kind of a neat little divert, just something else to talk about, you know. And it never happened. He never got it going. He actually did worse in some respects than Todd Raleigh. And
but remember, at the time we thought it was a big boy hire.
It just baffles the mind. It just baffles the mind that he did not leave the Cup. Like, I do not think Tony Vitello is going to come in here and just start winning. We're going to stink this year, man. I mean, it just is what it is. We've got a team that I think it's 14 freshmen and 14 sophomores in a league that is even more forgiving in baseball than it is in football.
You mean less forgiving?
And we're at the bottom.
Yeah.
We are at the bottom of this league. And people say, it's kind of like Pruitt taking. No, it's worse than that. It's worse than that.
Pruitt's got 4 and 5 stars over there right now.
We got nothing, man. And, you know, it's not Vitello's fault. You give him time to get some more players in here and better players in here and coach them up a little bit. But this is at least a 2-year rebuild, if not a 3 or 4. So I wouldn't expect much from this baseball team. We'll have Rusty on periodically, you know, if there's a storyline here or there to kind of chit chat about. But
give us updates.
Yeah, we're not gonna do the weekly baseball thing here this season, just because I don't think they're going to be very good, and there's not going to be much to talk about. But like I was trying to think, I mean, you know, is there anything even comparable to Serrano's failure as far as just, like, you know, Bob Shoup, I thought we all thought was going to be more successful here. Butch Jones and Derek Dooley both had, you know, similar
well,
to
we
what
we drank the Kool-Aid on those two idiots.
Yeah, just like we're drinking the Kool-Aid right now on Pruitt. We don't know how this guy's going to work out.
You know how I feel about Pruitt. It's the same way I felt about Kiffin.
I know. We all thought these guys were going to be home run. We all drink the Kool-Aid, man. I do it too. I'm not casting aspersions on anybody or saying you're an idiot, because I'm right there with y'all. And we thought Bob Shoup was going to be good. I was thinking, you know, Kevin O'Neill leaving in 97 was something that, you know, it happened at the time. And I was just like, what? Are you kidding? Like, why would you do that after 3 years of rebuild? Like, why would you not stick around and enjoy the fruits of your labor? The Bruce Pearl thing ending as it did. Now, that was more prolonged because it happened over like 7 or 8 months.
I was agonizing.
And I guess, you know, the Serrano thing happened over 4 or 5 years. That wasn't that sudden. But I don't know. We can do that. I thought that might be a fun Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question to kick around this afternoon.
All right.
Just what's the biggest head scratcher in UT athletics history? And I'm not talking about games, like, because there are a ton of games where, like, we won in an upset or lost in an upset or something like that. I'm talking about, like, storylines, you know, coaches that worked out or didn't work out, you know, controversy here or there. Like, just what is the biggest – what the heck moment? I mean, I think we would all probably put what just happened Shiano Sunday and just the entire 2017 Tennessee football coaching search.
That was pretty wild.
That's number one, and there's not really a close second. So, like, I guess that's the conversation we're having here.
Yeah,
what's
the
close second?
This past football season and coaching search was like a front row seat at Nuclear Armageddon. I mean, it was just a complete meltdown. We burned it down.
I've been told, I was talking with Mark Nagy about this book that he's writing.
Right.
And he said that he was going back through my Twitter timeline, which I don't know how to do. He sent me the directions to do it. Apparently, you can like target specific, because I tweet so much.
Yeah,
like it would take hours to like go back and look through. But he said he was looking at my Twitter timeline like in the middle of, or I guess, like early, late November, when everything was just going haywire. And he's like, dude, you were off your rocker. It's like you were just losing your mind.
Go back to that Sunday where the Shianimo day, when me and you, when I dragged you from helping your family, you had what, like multiple car problems that day?
I don't remember. I just,
like, we gotta go in.
Yeah.
And then
that was surreal.
Just what our Twitter timelines looked that afternoon.
I remember pulling over because I was out running an errand, and I talked to you. And it was sounding like it was going down. And I was like, okay, we got to go to the station. So I turned around, stopped what I was doing, and started heading that way. And I actually had to pull over so that I could look at I couldn't wait the 5 minutes that it would take to drive from wherever I was to the station, more like 10, 15, whatever. I couldn't do it.
My mind, I had Junior in the back seat reading it too.
You had him dictating to you.
Yeah, I was like, tell me what they're saying. Hit refresh. Pull down.
I had to pull over so that I could retweeter and get off a couple of tweets of my own on the way to the station. And then, of course, we got there and it was crazy. But Dave Serrano's failure here will rank right up there among the biggest head scratchers in my time following the Tennessee Vols.
It's really hard to get why it didn't work out, other than the fact that, like I said, he tried to play small ball in the SEC. The SEC's loaded.
All right, we're live this afternoon. Of course, National RX, if you want to come out and join us, we'd love to see you. We're at 11134 Kingston Pike. I've got some piping hot pizza from Jets Farragut here for you, and nobody has opened that pizza. So you could be the first. We've got plates, napkins, all the good stuff. You got to have a plate and napkin, right? You don't want to be the guy just carrying a piece of pizza in your hand. That's disgusting, right? We got you covered. No hand eating here on the drive. Come on out and see us. 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's in Farragut. It is The Drive. We'll be right back. Your phone calls coming up next on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive. Traveling in a freighter
combi on a hippie trailhead full of sunbeams. Sports Knoxville. Mark on Twitter says, most head-scratching moment, Phil stabbing Johnny in the back circa 1992.
I don't think that's fair.
I don't know that it's that shocking. I mean, to me, it's just kind of an act of God, right? I mean, Coach Majors had
open heart surgery.
Yes, a serious illness. That was an opportunity for Philip Fulmer. I don't know if opportunity is the right word, but I mean, he obviously came in there, and it was clear to anybody following Tennessee football in 1992 that the team was better off under Philip Fulmer's direction than it was under Johnny Majors. And Doug Dickey did what had to be done. I'm sure it was not a pleasant thing for him to do or something that he wanted to do, but it had to be done at the end of the day. Like Philip Fulmer said earlier today about this Robert Gillespie business.
It's a big boy business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a big boy business. And
I mean, listen, Fulmer didn't do that on his own.
Well, and I don't think he got any perverse joy out of doing it, but it's one of those series. I think a lot of us have been in a situation where you've been in a work environment,
right?
And you've been working under somebody that, you know, whether, you know, a lot of people say, oh yeah, I've had the incompetent boss, but maybe not even that, but a boss that you're like, I can do better.
Right.
And eventually you you know, some people will just kind of bite their lip and wait for their chance. But sometimes in a big boy business, you got to step up and say, you know, I'm the captain now. That's basically what Fulmer did 25 years ago.
Yeah, he couldn't have done it without Dickey.
And it hurt at the time. It was traumatic. It still hurts, man. And Johnny Majors will take that pain to his grave. I mean, he's never going to forgive that. But it happened, and it had to happen. Just like and you know, Johnny Majors will never acknowledge that it had to happen. Just like Fulmer will never acknowledge that 2008 had to happen. You know, his time was up at that point. And it's just I guess that's a head scratcher. I mean, a head scratcher. You know,
that's not really a head scratcher. That's just, I don't know.
It's subjective. It's a subjective term, no doubt. Several people saying Bruce Pearl's firing. You know, again, that was drawn out over a prolonged time frame, right? I mean, it's and I guess Serrano's was as well. But I remember when they had that press conference over there, and it was during football season, right before the basketball season was going to tip off, and everybody's like, we didn't know what was going to happen. It was just a press conference they called, and we didn't know what the subject matter was going to be. We knew that Pearl was going to be there, and it was like, huh, this is kind of odd. And they get out there and they explain what happened, and everybody, you know, about this you know, Bruce gets up there and
is that when he cried, or was that the fire alarm?
Yeah, well, both. And he's like, I provided false and misleading information to the NCAA, and everybody's like, what the? And then the fire alarm started going off several times, and that was weird and just uncomfortable. But we didn't know what to make of it because we were just so completely unprepared. So, yeah, I guess that was a head scratcher. I was there. And then I remember going, and, you know, we had just started the drive. So this was in the fall of 2010. And we came back, and we were doing the show, and we were just talking about it. And then it was hours later that it struck us during the show. It was like, he's going to get fired over this. And at the time, that seemed ludicrous, absurd, because there was nobody more popular in this town than Bruce Pearl.
Nobody more popular in the state.
You know, Dooley had just been hired. You know, there was nobody even approaching that level of popularity. But it was like, well, he's going to lose his job over this. Like, if it's and it played out over an entire season. And by the time it finally happened, you were almost kind of ready for it, although some have still not let it go.
Jimmy.
And yeah, that was a weird one. What do you think? By the way, this Pete Thamel piece that dropped last night after we got off the air.
Where do you want to start? The fact that we may be looking at just a seismic shift.
I mean,
college basketball may never ever look the same after if all of it comes out. I mean what are we gonna do?
I don't know. You and Chance and I were texting earlier, you know,
what was he talking about that was old? I didn't get that part.
I don't know. But I don't see how, as they said, there's as potentially as many as 50 college basketball programs,
right,
that could end up compromised in some way. I don't see how you hammer 50 teams. Like, you would have to cancel the tournament. And first of all, you know, is this news going to drop?
But here's the thing. The FBI doesn't care about the tournament. And they don't care about the blue blood schools.
Yeah, but the NCAA does.
But they have no – what – we're talking about the FBI.
I understand that. But the NCAA, that's how they make their money. They're not going to cancel the NCAA tournament.
Well, no. But it may look radically different. It's going to cost a lot of money.
But what – how? Worst case scenario, they said – you know, North Carolina, Duke, Michigan, Kentucky, they're all compromised. Throw Tennessee in there, hypothetically. I don't know.
Who knows? We employed Donnie Tindall.
Say they're just – everybody's compromised.
Right.
If you're the NCAA, do you just immediately say, okay, well, all those teams can't be in? Or do you just have it and say, we're going to have the tournament, and the teams that are in it, and we'll sort it out this summer. And if we have to vacate the title, we have to vacate the title.
I mean,
but
I think
we're having the tournament.
We could very easily end up with a vacated title this year. So, I mean, NCAA is not going to be able to protect any of these blue blood schools. Nobody can.
I just don't see how At the end of the day, you can have 50, like upwards of 50 teams.
You're thinking from a sports point of view.
No, I'm thinking I'm perfectly aware of the serious criminal nature of what's going on with the FBI probe. I get it.
Well, you think they aren't going to put Rat Boy in jail if they had evidence on him?
I don't know. Are they?
I'd love to see him. Wouldn't you like see him handcuffed and doing the perp walk?
My point is, even if they did, so what? You're gonna tell me that Duke and everybody is not going to the NCAA tournament?
I mean, I don't know.
So basically,
all I know is the FBI has for almost a year had wiretaps and all kinds of surveillance going on college basketball coaches. And let's not act like these guys are rocket surgeons.
For those of you who have been keeping up, and it is it's one of these deep, complex legal cases, man, that I mean, we could spend an entire show giving you the details of without even analyzing. But Pete Thamel had a piece out on Yahoo, and I couldn't remember. Is Pete Thamel on the list?
Yes, is he on the list? Yes, he's up in the top three.
Hold on, I got to go find the list. I've got it in my notes here somewhere.
We may or may not have.
He's not on my list.
Thamel's on the list, dude. Read me the list right now.
Dennis Dodd, Doug Gottlieb, Dan Wolkin, Stephen A. Smith, Tim Brando, Seth Davis, Joel Klatt, Kirk Herbstreit.
Thamel needs to be on the list, and so does 40.
Show me where, yeah, 40 should be on there. Show me where Pete Thamel called us. Yeah, exactly. Show me where he ridiculed us for the Shiano Sunday mess, and I will put him on the list. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying he's not on the list that I have right here.
Did we or did we not challenge him to meet us at the Walmart? I mean, we were pissed that day at him. Pete Thamel.
I don't remember that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't remember. So he writes today or yesterday on Yahoo, the soundtrack to the federal basketball corruption cases is essentially a ticking time bomb, which will inevitably explode. It will impact every major conference, Hall of Fame coaches, a score of current top players, and some of the nation's most distinguished and respected programs. Multiple sources who've been briefed on the case and are familiar with the material obtained by the feds told Yahoo Sports that the impact on the sport will be substantial and relentless. Sitting under protective order right now are the fruits of 330 days of monitoring activity by the feds, which one assistant U.S. attorney noted Thursday was a, quote, huge amount of material. That includes wiretaps from 4,000 intercepted phone calls and thousands of documents and bank records obtained from raids and confiscated computers, including those from notorious NBA agent Andy Miller. This goes a lot deeper than college basketball, than four corrupt assistant coaches, said a source who has been briefed on the details of the case. When this all comes out, Hall of Fame coaches should be scared. Lottery picks won't be eligible to play. And almost half of the 16 teams the NCAA showed on its initial NCAA tournament show this weekend should worry about the appearance being vacated. There's a general expectation that this information will be released. It could come in trial, pretrial motions, or released by the government at some point. No one is certain if they've agreed to eventually give it to the NCAA if it doesn't go public. So how bad could it be? In terms of NCAA rules, multiple sources tell Yahoo Sports that the material obtained threatens the fundamental structure and integrity of the sport, as there's potentially as many as 50 college basketball programs that could end up compromised in some way. NCAA officials are staring at the prospect of a tournament with a winner that will likely be vacating its title and many other eventually vacating their appearances, and there's a lingering mushroom cloud over the sport's upcoming showcase event that will not go away. So this is, I mean, this is what we've been hinting at, right? I mean, it's as bad as you could have imagined. It's more than just the four or five teams that, you know, Auburn and USC, Arizona and Oklahoma State that have already been implicated. They're saying upwards of 50 big time college basketball programs could be impacted here.
Absolutely. I'm taking it with a grain of salt because yes, Thamel should be on the list. He's number one on the list. I don't understand why he's not in your computer right now. Put him in. And I quote, in the end, Tennessee ended up with an inferior coach, an overmatched athletic director, and setting a new standard for disastrous coaching search.
All right, that's it. You're
one more sentence. The hires that former athletic director John Curry was on the cusp of making, Greg Schiano and Mike Leach, are exponentially more accomplished and better qualified for the Tennessee job.
He's number one with the bullet.
Yeah. And we did. We challenged him to meet us at the Walmart and say it to our faces.
All right, Pete Thamel, and I'm putting Pat Forty up there because I'm pretty sure I remember him having a couple of cheap shots as well. Now, just because he's on the list doesn't mean I won't analyze what he's saying objectively here when it comes to college basketball. I'm assuming he's not making any of this stuff up. I don't know where all this leads, but I know that it ain't good. And I know that they said of the 16 teams that the NCAA released on its tournament selection show or whatever, that half of them could be implicated. Tennessee's on there. All I know is if ravishing Rick Barnes is implicated in this mess, if he's crooked right now, then you might as well just go ahead and shut it down, man. You might as well just go ahead and shut it down. If we were cheating to get Grant Williams and Kyle Alexander, then you might as well just go ahead and shut it down.
Take his name that hadn't played for the wacky air.
If we had to outbid Yale for Grant Williams, if we had to outbid the Toronto Performing School for the Arts for Kyle Alexander, then we might as well just go ahead and
did Grant have an Ivy League offer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. So he chose us after. He didn't have any other SEC offers.
He had an offer from Yale?
Yes.
And he came here.
Where have you been?
I didn't realize he had a Yale offer.
We discussed this
thoroughly. I'll tell you right now, if Grant was my son, he would be playing basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yale.
That's what I said at the time when we were recruiting him.
What is this? But God.
Well, I mean, listen, man, when you're that smart and you're that talented, you're going to be successful wherever you go. And he's going to have a pro basketball career. So from that standpoint, coming here and getting developed by Rick Barnes and playing at the highest level for a couple of years, that's going to help his development and maximize
so many doors for someone.
Well, he can go back because he's going to be loaded. He's going to have
do some graduate work at Yale
if he wants to.
Just opens a lot of doors up there.
It is interesting because it shows that the thing I always told people about UT. When I went there and when I talked to people who are like kids who are in broadcasting and want to get into school and like, what's the value of the education there? And to me, I always say that it is what you decide you want it to be. It is what you make of it. Because when I majored in broadcasting, there were probably like 100 other kids in my class that graduated with the same degree. To my knowledge, I'm the only one
in broadcasting
that actually works in broadcasting. And there were so many people, they're just lazy. They would go to the class and everything, but they didn't do anything. I was like, go do an internship. Go get a job. Show up at a radio station.
They didn't do any practicums or any of that?
Yeah.
Like, hands-on?
Well, they did what they had to do to get the degree.
Right.
But that was it.
But they weren't planning for their broadcasting career?
No, nobody does.
The station do?
It was mind-boggling. And so, like, to me, it's like, yeah, if you can – UT, you can do whatever. You know, you've got an engineering school, a medical school, a veterinary school, law school, all that stuff. If you go there and you work hard, and you do what you're supposed to and a little extra, then, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be able to do whatever you – but if you just go and coast like most people do, then you're going to crap out. Grant Williams is going to come here and excel. He's going to get a good degree and a great basketball experience and be able to do whatever he wants. Now, sadly, there are a lot of athletes who go there and they coast and they get the piece of paper, but they can't do anything with it because they didn't apply themselves while they were here. UT can be a great school. It can be, that's what always gets me.
We're talking about Yale, dude.
I understand that.
There's only a handful of schools that I'd say that about, but
I understand that.
But I see what you're saying.
You can have an elite educational experience at UT, but you got to go out there and get it. They're not going to demand it from you the way they do at those schools. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to get on the show with us this afternoon. 546-8200. If you've got thoughts on the basketball scandal here, we have not even mentioned the huge game at Georgia tomorrow. We'll get into that a little bit when we continue. The basketball scandal, the hot question this afternoon, biggest head scratchers in UT athletics history. It's a good topic, and we will continue with more coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. Mama told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
Here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, live today, National RX in Farragut, where we are this afternoon. Come on out and see us, as we'll be here till 6 o'clock, and still got some of the crackling Woodwick candles here, guys. If you had a bad Valentine's Day, if you didn't take my advice, if you spent the last couple of nights on the couch, come on out here and get that. I'm staring at one of the heart-shaped candles right now. They've got them, buy one, get one. Here at National RX, come out here and get the missus a candle or two. Get back into good graces. Stave off divorce for at least another month or two with your friends here on The Drive at National RX. We're in Farragut next to Wendy's. Be here till about 6 o'clock this evening. And let's get to these phones. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on board here. Phil is up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
What do you say, W?
Hey, Phil, how you doing, man?
How you and Bear doing?
Doing all right. No problem.
I guess Serrano was a head scratcher, or whatever you want to say, because he was probably the most accomplished coach brought in here since John Majors, I guess.
And I remember
he get the job done.
Yeah, when he got the job, it was one of those things where, oh, how long is it going to take? He's going to need a year or two to rebuild. And we gave him that time, but it was like we were stuck in that just perpetual rebuilding. And, you know, they had a winning record last year. I think they went like 28-27 overall, but the conference record was terrible. And they never got close to going to the NCAA tournament under his watch.
I guess you got another head scratcher is Holly. Is she going to survive or not?
I don't know, man. It's probably – I mean, what do you do? You're going to fire Holly Warlick?
Lost to Alabama for the first time ever in Thompson Bowling.
Yeah.
I think they lost three straight to Alabama, and Alabama's never done anything in women's basketball.
Here's the problem, though, man.
You can't beat Alabama in anything.
She's good enough to continue to win here and be in the top 25 and have a nice program and make the tournament every year, but she's never going to make a Final Four. She's never going to win a national championship. She's just not. She's not good enough, and we have enough sample size now, I think, to say that pretty definitively. But she's also not bad enough to where she's going to have losing records and miss the tournament and do the things that you would have to do to fire her. So you're kind of just stuck in this purgatory with Holly Warlick that I don't see ending anytime soon.
Yeah, and I actually watched a little bit of that game last night, and I was hearing the commentators talking about that it looks like the NCAA is going to do Holly a favor and put her in the same regional as Janelle or Emma.
Oh, man. We haven't played them since they played regularly, right? I mean, since the split.
We played them one time in the tournament.
I don't think so. I don't think we've played them.
Yeah, they said we played them one time in the tournament, and we smoked them. They smoked us. Way back, I don't know, 2004 or something like that.
Yeah, but was that after the whole Maya Moore incident that caused us to stop playing them?
Heck, I don't know, W. I mean, the way these years are flying by, I don't have no idea. I do remember the Maya Moore stuff, though. But
yeah, I mean, that's when Pat said, we're not playing you anymore, and I don't think they've played since then. But, the tide had definitely turned before that. They had started beating us head-to-head. But we stopped playing them because of Geno's below-the-belt recruiting tactics.
Did you watch the broadcast the other night when they were talking about Rick Barnes' third year at Clemson, his third year at Providence, and his third year at Texas, and how he, had, almost 500 records and up until then he had a real good season, and it looked like what he's doing here on third year.
Yeah, he's got the blueprint, and it was also the way he did it there was he built it up with lesser heralded recruits that he coached up, and by the time they were juniors and seniors, they were really good players. And then once they started winning, with upperclassmen, that's when he started bringing in quote-unquote elite recruits, and that certainly looks like the way he's building this one up. As you look towards the class of, you know, we're recruiting Simons right now, we'll see what happens there, but the class of 2019, where they have several scholarships available, there's like four or five top 100 players that we're involved with, so the caliber of recruiting increases.
Yeah, it's going up, you know.
Yeah.
But you look at this, are all these investigations, are they all Adidas schools?
For right now,
but, I mean, it sounds like if the FanDuel
they're not,
be believed, it sounds like this is crossing manufacturers. I mean, it's everybody. It's a whole stinking mess.
Yeah,
oh, it's everybody.
Arizona is Nike. Auburn is Under Armour. So
it's going to end up being all of them, Phil.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting. I wonder if they'll dig all the way back to Konzo Martin when he was here and then to California.
I mean,
it sounds like they've been investigating for like within the past 2 years. The way I read the article, the wiretaps were recent.
Even so, I mean, we can all agree Donnie Tindall was dirty, right?
Yeah, I just don't think he was already, yeah. He was under investigation so quickly here. I don't think he had time to.
Was he recruiting anybody that we would have had to pay for?
No. Do you think, Phil?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, but the next year he actually got some players that are still playing at a high level right now. Arizona State, a big man. Donnie Tindall had his first recruit. Of course, we never signed the guy. So, and then the guy, Rob Gray at Houston. And I think Houston is on the bubble right now. They beat the other night? I watched the game on TV.
I have no idea, Phil.
I'll tell you who Tindall's best find probably was the Admiral.
We just got a text from John. Three of us have forgotten about this. We were in the running for Scal
Labissiere
with Donnie. One of the dirtiest recruiting battles ever.
Yeah.
Probably had to pay to even be in the mix.
Yeah, but he went to Kentucky, though, didn't he?
Kentucky, yeah. Is that where he ended up going?
Yeah, he visited here, too. Oh, that's a few months. And he went to Kentucky.
Who was the kid that Donnie had that ended up – he ended up going to Virginia, Vitek, and he's playing for Buzz?
Chris Clark.
Was that who it was? That was right when it all came
out. He committed to Tennessee, and then when all the stuff on Donnie Tindall came out, he decommitted and went to sign to Virginia Tech.
Oh, I wanted that kid.
That would be the most Tennessee thing ever. We get taken down for a kid we didn't even get.
No, but really, it's good now that we're not on the gray area in basketball right now, because anybody that's involved in it's going to get slammed. Sounds like, I guess Jamie won't be upset about that with him.
Bruce Pearl, you remember the Bon Jovi song "Blaze of Glory," don't you, Phil?
Yeah.
He's going down in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, Buck Pearl, see.
Remember the Young Guns too.
Yeah.
You remember the video? Like Bon Jovi, he's like out in the Western. You don't remember that? Richie Sambora walks out of like a hut in some Western village and lays down a guitar solo.
I wasn't really into Bon Jovi.
Well, neither was I, but I mean, that music was everywhere circa 1990, whenever that movie came out. It's a good movie. Young Guns 2, better than Young Guns 1.
No.
Yes.
You're so full of it.
Young Guns 2, bro.
Young Guns 1, man.
865-546-8200. The reason Young Guns 2 was better was because of Blaze of Glory by Bon Jovi. Hot take for you. Stay with us.
Brr.
Here on The Drive. 865-546-8200, your number to get in here. Rick Butler will greet you as you call on a rainy Friday. Back with more right after this.
The drive rages on.
We'll be live. live with the voluntary reaction as soon as the Georgia game is over tomorrow.
What time's tip?
6 o'clock tip in Stegman Coliseum.
Enough this year with tip times.
What's wrong with 6 o'clock?
I'd rather have 7:30.
A little late for you, Grandpa?
No, it's
a little early.
Yeah. What you coming at me for, bro?
I don't know. 6 o'clock. That seems like a weird time to be. What do you have something?
It's just early plans? No, it's just right there. It should either be in that 3 o'clock range, 4 o'clock.
Is it like right in the middle of dinner time? You got to get the early bird special.
No,
like
what? It has nothing to do with that. I mean, I don't know why you're going there with me. It's just, I don't even eat until like 10 o'clock. It's just an odd time.
Well, how's 8 o'clock? What do you think about 8? Is that a good time?
At the latest, it's like 7:30 game. Oh, 7:30.
Voluntary reaction will tip off at 8, ish, as soon as the game is over. John Reed, myself.
That you're in John's thing you've been doing?
Taking your phone calls and talking some college hoops. How in the world, and talk about things that like sneak up on you and don't make any sense and are head scratchers. The fact that we've lost 4 in a row to Georgia, I find that baffling. How can that be, man? We used to own them.
In what, in basketball?
Yes.
Go back and look at the overall record. There's just certain. I mean, you can go back to the, how many? I wonder what Pearl's record was. I need to look that up.
He owned them, man. He would go down there and dunk on them every single year. Poor Dennis Felton. I mean, Bruce Pearl just owned his soul. I guess Bruce owned a lot of people's soul back in those days, but I don't remember many Bruce Pearl era losses to Georgia.
He still does.
But they've snuck up on us somehow and have won 4 in a row against us. This aggression will not stand, man. We have got to end this streak. And I was talking to somebody close to the program this morning who said that he expects an intense effort from the boys tomorrow because the Rick Barnes not resting on his laurels after eking one out against South Carolina. He was on the warpath. I was told that yesterday's practice was one of the most intense of the season, and that these guys are getting after it and that they will be ready to play. So I guess it seems like they usually practice first and then leave. So they practice today and then get on the plane and go over there and play Georgia.
They're flying down
tomorrow.
There?
They fly everywhere. They charter everywhere. And so they will
charter to Lexington.
They charter everywhere.
Okay.
Vanderbilt, Lexington, wherever. And but I was told that if they don't come out with a belly full of fire tomorrow, that something's wrong. So
you feel like Barnes has got their attention again?
Yeah, we'll see. And you know, player leadership continuing to develop. I was reading.
I hate that the boys have to, you know, they make Coach Barnes have to act like this.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of peer pressure on these guards right now. And Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, who are the unquestioned leaders of this team, are like, guys, you know, we are consistent. We're showing up pretty much every night. We are doing the work. We need you guys to step up. And I think that I don't want to, you know, put too much on it and act like tomorrow's right. Some turning point or something. But
it's a big game.
It is a big game, yeah. And it's a big game for the guards especially. And what we've been talking about here is it's time for those guys to step up. And we're not asking for any of them to be a superstar, to be Trae Young or anything like that. But by gosh, we need some consistency out of those guys. And if you're not going to score it, then you can't turn the ball over the way we did the other night. You've got to at least be able to take care of the basketball and guard your position. And if you do those things, I think Barnes is fine with whatever happens with, you know, shots falling and stuff like that. But we'll see. Big game tomorrow, 6 o'clock tip against UGA down in Stegman. Voluntary reaction following as soon as the game is over. Next week, Florida at home at Ole Miss. And then at Mississippi State and Georgia at home to end the season. And you'll have, we'll be down to the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
It's gone by fast, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're there.
Tournament time is upon us. And looking forward to seeing how all this thing shakes out. Hopefully we peak at the right time. Because, I mean, this is kind of, I mean, let's be honest, not to bring up negativity or anything, but this is where the team has collapsed the past 2 years. And I know the injuries obviously were a big part of that, with Hubs getting hurt last year and Punter the year before. But, you know, this is the time that separates the men from the boys, and it's time to grow up and play big boy basketball as we turn towards the NCAA tournament and Tennessee playing for seeding. I said earlier this week, I think Tennessee has at least one more loss down the stretch. I would take 4-1 right now. If you gave me 4 wins and 1 loss the rest of the way here regular season, I would take that. It would be great to win all 5. If you win all 5, I think you've got an excellent shot at a 2 seed and maybe even an outside shot at a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. But I think even at 4-1, you've got a pretty darn good shot at a 2 seed and a 3 seed at worst, if that's how this thing ends up. So got to protect your home court. And tomorrow's a big one, man, because you should beat Georgia down there. You're just the better team. I know they won against Florida on the road earlier this week, but you look at it on paper, and Tennessee's clearly the better team, but you got to go out and do it. All right, hour number 2 coming up, National RX, where we are this afternoon. Want to thank Jets Pizza for providing some pies for us this afternoon. If you're looking for a place to go and watch the game tomorrow, Jets Pizza and Farragut will be open. They will have the Vols game on. They will have the Winter Olympics on all weekend. We'll get Bears Winter Olympics update coming up here in hour number 2 of the show for you as well. Just scratching the surface. We'll hit the reset button for those of you just joining when we continue next right here on The Drive.